Good morning.
Good morning.
About 6 or 7 years ago, there was a video that went viral, as animal videos are wont to do, and I reassured Amy that no monkeys were harmed in the preparation of this sermon. So, you may have already seen this video or remember it, but it recently came back to my attention. In this video, there are two capuchin monkeys who are interacting with a researcher. They're in side-by-side cages, which look very comfortable. And the researcher teaches the first monkey that every time the monkey gives the researcher a rock, she'll get a piece of cucumber. So the researcher goes about this, and very quickly the monkey learns she gets a rock, she gives it to the researcher, she gets a piece of cucumber. And this is going on very happily for a little bit, and the monkey in the second crate is at first just sort of hanging out and doing whatever she was initially up to, but eventually she notices that the monkey next door is getting some cucumber. So she starts to rattle on her crate. Now, mind you, the first monkey is really happy getting cucumbers for rocks. So the researcher goes over to the second monkey and points to the rocks that are by her side of the crate. So the monkey is very excited. She picks up the rock, she hands it to the researcher, but instead of giving her a piece of cucumber, the researcher gives her a grape. And to capuchin monkeys, grapes are like the chocolate mousse of the animal. So she is ecstatic. She thought she was going to get a piece of cucumber, and she got a grape. So she races over, and she gets another rock, and she hands it to the researcher and gets another grape. Well, the first monkey looks over and obviously thinks, wait a minute. Grapes? I didn't know grapes were an option. And so she runs over and gets a rock, hands it to the researcher, and she gets another cucumber. You can just Google capuchin monkey and cucumber, and she looks at the cucumber, she takes it and she throws it at the researcher as hard as she can. And then she starts shaking her cage. This story, this research was brought back to my mind this week while I was reading the extremely exquisite book called The Book of Joy, which is a conversation between the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And there are two components of this research that I'd like to call to your attention this morning. First, when you watch these two monkeys interacting with each other, they both start out very much at peace. The first monkey is perfectly happy with the rocks and the cucumbers. The second monkey, at first, is perfectly happy with nothing. And so quickly, by looking at each other, they are both in fits of rage and envy, shaking their cage and demanding what the other has. In the Book of Joy, His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu talk about what a primal human experience that is. We can wake up in the morning and feel deeply peaceful and contented. And one news story, one email, one phone call can destroy us. So that experience of going from contentedness and blessedness to rage, fury, frustration, jealousy, whatever it might be, is so primal. They both draw our attention to this experience to remind us to be compassionate with ourselves. There's nothing wrong with the monkey who is jealous and wants a grape. It is a basic instinct. But unlike the capuchin monkeys, we as human beings can cultivate a sense of joy, a peacefulness and blessedness in our own lives that can transcend all of the flutter that might happen on the surface. When Jesus is teaching his disciples today, and I think it's so important to remember that in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus is offering these Beatitudes, the crowds are beginning to gather, but he is speaking directly to his disciples and to the people who are around him. So that when he looks at somebody and he says, "Blessed are you who mourn," he is likely looking at someone who is mourning in that minute. Or, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit," he's likely looking at someone who he found to be particularly humble and open to the work of God. These Beatitudes are not general abstract pronouncements, but directed at individual people who are going through very personal and intense hardships. When we remember that, and when we think about the witness of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who experience and live a quality of deep joy and peace in the midst of the most horrendous oppression and hardship that any human beings can face, I personally am strengthened and encouraged to find those places, those ways of cultivating joy. When we think about the oppression and the injustice present in South Africa that Archbishop Tutu was born into, lived through, and ultimately helped to end, when we think about the hundreds and thousands of people who were killed under that brutal program, his friends who spent decades in jail, including Nelson Mandela, when this man talks about experiencing joy in all things, we know that he is speaking from a place of groundedness in God. The same thing with His Holiness. He's been in exile from his home country of Tibet for almost 60 years. He fled in the night, traveled for 3 weeks under threat of Chinese soldiers killing him and his party. He has watched thousands of his countrymen die under the Chinese occupation. They've systematically tried to destroy Tibetan culture, the Tibetan way of life, the Tibetan people. And in the middle of all of that, the one of the most extraordinary spiritual leaders of our age has emerged and is a being of such joy and peace that people of all religious denominations flock to see him no matter where he speaks. Desmond Tutu and His Holiness have become good friends and tease each other constantly. And there's a beautiful exchange where Desmond Tutu is teasing His Holiness and saying, "I don't know why they come to see you. Your English is horrible." It's such a wonderful example in both of these men's lives about how no matter what is going on in our personal lives, in our communities, in our nations, when we are grounded in God, in the middle of the most terrible hardship, there is peace and there is joy. They teach extensively in this book about how to cultivate that through their times of prayer and what their various prayer practices are. But for both of them, the key is a time in silence at the beginning of every day, where they are reminded of their connection with all of God's beings, where they pray for everybody, including their oppressors, and they remind themselves that they are so much more than whatever the emotions are that are fluttering and ruffling on the surface. The second part of cultivating joy, that deep sense of blessedness that Jesus teaches us about, is related to these monkeys. Not only is our primal instinct and ability to get ruffled by the circumstances of our life just a fact, but equally primal is our desire for justice. Before justice is a political issue, it is an issue for so many species of the earth. If you ever question that, come over to my house and give one of my dogs a bone, but not the other one. With these monkeys, the sense of justice, it is not right that she's getting the grape and I'm getting the cucumber, that she's getting the cucumber and I'm getting nothing. It's a primal instinct. Mm-hmm. And both His Holiness and Archbishop Tutu talk about another quality of cultivating joy, of finding a peace that is beyond understanding in the face of whatever hardship exists in your life. Another quality is serving God's people in need. So that when we look and we see someone who is mourning, who is not at peace, who is hungry, who lacks basic human rights in some way, and we reach out to them, not only are we helping to reduce the anguish of the cage shaking that we saw the monkeys exhibit, not only are we reducing their human suffering, but we ourselves experience more joy in the act of service and in giving. And again, when these men tell stories from their lives and their contexts of the hundreds of thousands of people who found profound peace and joy in service, grounded in God, in the face of such hardship, it is awe-inspiring. So wherever you find yourself in your life, when you know that you have been knocked off balance, when you feel fear or anger or jealousy or pain or rejection, whatever it might be rising in your heart, I hope that you will call to mind the teachings of these great men, that you will find more time to be in prayer, especially in solitude with God, and that you will consider ways that you can serve, that you can reach out to the hungry, to the lonely, to those who are mourning, to the homeless, and serve them. Because as the prophet Micah tells us, all that God requires of us is that we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.